another firewall in the fight against Obamacare. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheik, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And once again, Barry, it looks like really we've got good news for the second day in a row.
Yes, yes it does. I kind of like it, the fact that we're moving into the week of giving thanks for all the many signal blessings that God has bestowed upon us individually, in our families, as a nation. Chuck, even though sometimes people may forget in the hectic run of the daily life that God is still in control of all things. All things do work together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that God does things decently and in order, and that God never changes and he's never variable. So we've got so many good things to be thankful for in this season, but sometimes even we get some things that we didn't expect. And I know that last week, I think we mentioned a little bit that there was some concern out in the land of liberty around Ohio that the Kasich administration would be applying or meeting the deadline for setting up the healthcare exchange structure that is mandated under the Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare. However, on Friday, this last week, and usually we talked about how on Fridays is when the Obama administration usually drops executive orders that radically change the way the structure and the power shift to the federal administration. Well, we got some power shifting going the other direction now, and I think this is kind of some good news. Because this Friday, this last Friday, Governor John Kasich sent a letter to the director of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the Center for Consumer Information and Insurance Oversight, a gentleman by the name of Gary Cohen. And he sent a letter, and he basically started out this way. He says, "Dear Director Cohen, this letter is to inform you of Ohio's decisions regarding whether or not to implement the health benefit exchange mandated by the Affordable Care Act and other issues. And basically that the law requires the HHS to certify states' plans by January of 2013. And he says, my administration is committed to improving health care for all Ohioans through forward-thinking, solutions-oriented strategies aligned with our state's ongoing efforts to create a jobs-friendly climate. And he talks about the modernization of the state Medicaid program, things of that nature. And we can talk about whether or not Medicaid's a good idea or not in another program. But what he gets right down to after all these positive things, and he says, we have decided that there's a lot of uncertainty and negative impacts that are coming out of the Affordable Care Act, i.e. the Obamacare, and you're not giving us any flexibility to build and manage exchanges, and I quote from the letter, in ways that respond to unique needs of the citizens or markets. He says, regardless of who runs the exchange, the end product is the same. In other words, he's saying it's going to be a disaster. And so he says Ohio will not, and I repeat, will not relinquish to the federal government its right to regulate its insurance market, but is going to do that as it's done for more than 60 years under the State Department of Insurance, and it will not turn over to the federal government the right to determine Medicaid and the CHIP, or the Children's Health Insurance, eligibility for its citizens. So, and it says Ohio has no plans to run a state reinsurance program at this time. So basically, the Kasich administration said no. We're not doing this, period. Forget it. This whole thing, and the APA is going to wreck what we've already got in Ohio, which he believes is working, which we could argue about that at another time.
Yeah.
But we could argue about that at another time. But that the fact that if they went ahead and basically submitted to what the federal government wanted them to do under Obamacare, it would be a total disaster for the state of Ohio. And so therefore, they're saying, nope, we're not doing it. We're not going to set up or administer health insurance exchanges under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act.
Well, there's several things I see here now that to contrast this, there is a letter in the article that we're going to be posting alongside this.
Yes.
To Kathleen Sebelius from Governor Rick Perry of Texas.
Yes.
And I will say right up front that Kasich's letter goes right for the throat. Rick Perry does what Rick Perry does best, and that is sort of dance around and make excuses and sort of say, well, we don't know what the cost is yet, so we're not going to play.
As many times as we've been critical of our governor, the one thing I do appreciate is he's pretty no-nonsense. When he makes a decision, he's going to tell you, and he's going to tell you very bluntly where he stands.
Kasich, let's just put it this way, is not playing warm and fuzzy with the Secretary of Health and Human Services on this one. He's just basically saying, no, it's against the Ohio Constitution. We're not going to play. Rick Perry as being far more disingenuous. And I think maybe the letter from Perry was put in for comparison.
Yes, I think, and this was coming from our friends over at the Ohio Liberty Coalition, OhioLibertyCoalition.org. It's on their front page. And the coalition is all of the various Tea Party, 912, Patriot groups around the state of Ohio who come together. It includes groups like Buckeye Firearms, a lot of the 912 projects, the Tea Party groups, including Columbus and Dayton and others. And it's a lot of good constitutionally minded citizens, and they're basically saying, hey, this is what we've been asking for. Stand up for the health care freedom amendment that we got on the ballot and we got the Ohio citizens to pass. And governor, you need to interpose yourself between us and the federal government.
And that's exactly what's happening here, Barry. This is the biblical doctrine. I'm sure Kasich would not want to be thought of in this way. But
oh, no, no. I think he might be. I mean, you know, John Kasich really isn't too shy about letting people know that he is a believer and that his faith is important to him. Now, it may not be on the same level as some of us, or, you know, he may compartmentalize it a little bit more than we do. But I think he does understand the biblical doctrine of interposition.
Well, perhaps. He at least understands that nullification is an idea whose time has reemerged, and this looks like an attempt at nullification. And it is in the Ohio Constitution, and there is a real question about how the Supremacy Clause should be read. This has been a dead question, really, for several years, although recently it has come up. For instance, under the Bush administration, the Real ID Act was essentially nullified by a number of states, including Ohio, and it went by the wayside. So anyone who tells you that nullification died in the Civil War and never to be resurrected doesn't know much about the Fugitive Slave Law or the Real ID Act or a number of things that happened in the 1930s under the Roosevelt administration. And that's because let's face it, the people, the big government propagandists have been very busy at work doing their best to wipe out any reference to the idea that the states have simply said, nope, we're not doing that. And that's exactly what Kasich is doing here. He's saying, nope, we're not doing that.
Yeah, now, right. But, you know, again, just like any good politician, he does hedge his bets a little bit at the very end of the letter. And we're going to look at both sides of it. And he says that basically, I am confident Ohio will meet federal standards to maintain its control of these responsibilities. In other words, he said beforehand is like, we want the information, the rules, and the interpretation of the law that clearly spells out how this isn't going to hurt Ohio. And if you can show us that, then we will talk with you about it. And he's erected the director of the Ohio Department of Insurance, who also happens to be the lieutenant governor of the state of Ohio, Mary Taylor, to work with the Federal Health and Human Services Department and to work through these issues. And I've talked to Lieutenant Governor Taylor before and know her personally, and I know that she's pretty conservative. And I don't think she's a very big fan of Obamacare to start with or the healthcare exchanges. So I'm sure that they are going to really put up a good fight with the federal government. And it looks like, Chuck, as we're going to talk about here in just a second, they might have a little help from some constitutionally minded organizations here in the state of Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Well, great. And I think we have some familiarity with this group. We have some agreements and some disagreements with them, but because they are more libertarian-minded than Christian constitutionalist-minded, but they're not a bad group overall.
Well, that's true. And what we're talking about is the 1851 Center for Constitutional Law. You can find their information at OhioConstitution.org. It's a friend of mine, Maurice Thompson, an attorney, with a board and a staff of other attorneys, who defends the basic premises of the United States Constitution and the Ohio Constitution. They worked with the liberty groups to put the Ohio Healthcare Freedom Amendment on the ballot. And so they've spelled out this whole situation is a really good position for them, because doing this, the agreement that Kasich's administration did with their group, and then sending that letter to the Federal Health and Human Services to refuse to implement it, basically says that Ohio will not impose the employer mandate, a penalty of up to $3,000 per employee that must be otherwise paid to the federal government by Ohio employers who do not provide government-approved health care insurance for their employees. So in other words, Ohio is going to honor the Health Care Freedom Amendment and say, hey, we're going to step in between the employer and the federal government. Chuck, this is great, and they're going to get help because I believe that the 1851 Center's already noted that they are lining up a lawsuit to sue the federal government over any violation or forcing of anybody in Ohio to take federally mandated health care.
Well, it's about time somebody stood up for the average individual. Now, we talked yesterday's show about religious exemptions, of course, which there aren't any. One of the reasons that the Obama administration argued that Tyndale House didn't have the right to an exemption was that they weren't religious enough. In other words, they were a for-profit, and for-profits are, by definition, not religious. Well, that's an absurdity on its face. The idea that somehow, if you're a religious organization, you're automatically nonprofit is just simply silly. There's nothing wrong with making a profit at doing things like selling Bibles and tracts, which is what Tyndale House does, and then they use the profit to distribute for other things. Now, that being said, where does that leave the individual who doesn't have the clout of an organization that can file suit, but does want exemption from this thing for a number of reasons? First of all, you don't believe that the state, from a biblical standpoint, should be allowed to do this. Second of all, you don't want to participate in doing things like paying for abortions and abortifacient contraceptives and that kind of thing. The answer is the individual has no real recourse, and that's why groups like the 1851 Center exist and are there to file lawsuits on our behalf. I frankly don't want to be forced into taking health care if I don't want it. And the fact that the federal government can force me to participate, whether I want to or not, and force me to pay for the neighbor down the street's abortions, whether I want to or not, is simply not constitutionally viable in my opinion. And I need, obviously, I'm not going to be able to file suit and spend millions of dollars on legal fees from top-notch attorneys. So we need groups like the 1851 Center to be able to do that kind of thing. That's exactly why they exist.
That's right. And actually, they worked with the Kasich administration and actually came up with this, the more I think about this, Chuck, this is a really good plan. Because with Ohio saying, we're not going to set up our own exchange, it forces the federal government to set up an exchange in states where they refuse to do so. Now, it says the 1851 Center's press release says, well, the federal government might create exchanges in states that decline to create those state-run exchanges, but it cannot offer credits through its exchanges. Whereas it was going to say that if the state-run exchanges are allowed to offer tax credits or subsidies or to employers purchase health plans. But if they did take the subsidies through the state exchanges, then they are exposed to the $3,000 per employee tax if they don't offer all of the health care that the federal government tells them they must offer their employees. But if you force well, the state's not going to set up that exchange, and so we're not offering credits, the federal government cannot offer credits through its exchanges by the law, and says where there can be no credits, there's nothing to trigger the $3,000 tax on the employers. And so he basically says that if this is the case, if you can get rid of the employer mandate, then Obamacare will collapse without that, just as it would have done if Roberts would have found the individual mandate to be unconstitutional. I think it's a very, very interesting strategy, and it's one that actually might have some very good teeth to it, as long as you have officials like the governor of a state who are going to stand up and say, no, we're not doing it this way. We're minding our own business. We're taking care of our own citizens' health care issues, whether it's the government's role to do that at all or not. Again, another argument for another day. But the fact is that they are saying we're drawing a line in the sand here. And that's the beauty of the whole idea of interposition, is that lesser magistrate, the state government through the governor, standing up to the federal government and saying, not in my state, you're not.
And Barry, this is a case where the federal position, the Federal Health and Human Services, basically being hoisted by its own petard. So they've set up this rule that they thought was the perfect mousetrap, and it turns out that the mice are able to steal the cheese and not feel the snap of the trap.
Yes.
This is actually a brilliant strategy, if you ask me. And while it would have been better had the Supreme Court done what it should have done, this is passably acceptable.
Yes, I believe so. I believe that this is a really clever and creative strategy, and if it's coupled with what we talked about yesterday, with individual employers also suing the federal government over violations of their beliefs or forcing a mandate on them that they don't have. And again, Maurice Thompson, the 1851 Center, at the end of his press release says, we could turn our attention away from the Kasich administration and begin to prepare litigation that ensures that Ohio employers will not be subjected to the $3,000 per employee fine, and that Obamacare ultimately collapses under the weight of its own legal infirmities.
And with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for hopefully we'll have some more good news. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.